Father God, we come before you in a spirit of humility, Lord, and a spirit of joy. Lord, we thank you for your amazing work in our lives, Lord, that you would bring us together as people who were once condemned by you, Lord, and wretches. Lord, we thank you that we come before you now through Christ as people who are perfectly sinless in your eyes, no longer condemned because of the blood of Christ. And so we come before you with joy, and we ask you, Lord, as the God of all light, to bring your light into our hearts this morning, that you would do an amazing work this morning, that you wouldn't allow us to leave without being changed. Help us to hear your word, and Lord, we pray that we would devote our lives increasingly and more so to you. We thank you so much for our church here at Life Song and for our devotion, this church's devotion to seeing your kingdom spread throughout the world and your light brought, Lord, to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think you'll agree that one of the greatest disasters, one of the worst kinds of disasters, can happen when commands or instructions are disobeyed, when they are ignored or misunderstood. Some really terrible things can happen when you ignore them or misunderstand. Let me just give you some examples of this, besides this one right here. There's this one student driver who was told to go in reverse, but he just misunderstood or ignored that command, and so he blasted right through the window of the driving school because he just ignored the instructions from his instructor. That's one example. This poor little puppy right here, he was supposed to, unfortunately, have one of his legs, his right leg, amputated, but the surgeon didn't listen to the veterinarian or just was ignoring or misunderstood the command, and so he accidentally amputated the wrong leg, and of course they had to go back and amputate the other leg. And so I don't know how this puppy runs around, but somehow he uses just two legs and runs. He's still pretty happy, but it's a true story, a very sad story, but a disaster that happened because someone didn't listen. Here's another one. This is the true story. This guy Willie, this is even sadder because it's a human being here. His surgeon didn't listen to his doctor, and the surgeon was supposed to amputate the right leg, but amputated the wrong leg, and so, of course, they had to go back and amputate his other leg, and so he lost both legs. He could have been able to walk with a prosthetic limb, but now he lost both his good leg. Why? Because someone didn't listen to the instruction. It's a terrible story. Here's another disaster that happens all the time. This is our boys' bathroom right here, and every night, this is just what it looks like. It's not even like I threw clothes on the ground. This is just, for some reason, disastrous. And then so we'll tell them, hey, your bathroom is a mess. Clean it up. And so the very next morning, I'll go in, and this is what it looks like. Exactly the same. And I have no idea how those shorts or underwear or whatever that is, how it's levitating up on the doorpost right there. I don't even want to know. If you don't listen to instructions or commands, then disasters can happen. Now, unfortunately, as Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us many commands that are very difficult to understand. Let me just give you some examples of this. So Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, eat my flesh. Eat my flesh. And so are you eating of the flesh of Jesus on a regular basis? He was serious about that. Here's another one. He says, drink my blood. And some of the people who were listening said, I can't do that. They walked away from that. But are you drinking of the blood of Jesus on a regular basis? We'll have an opportunity to do that later. We're not going to be talking about those two, but here's the one we are going to be talking about this morning. It is take up your cross. Even take up your cross daily. And that just doesn't make sense to us evangelical Protestant Christians who believe that Jesus Christ died once, and so you don't have to die on the cross. He suffered your pain, your eternal punishment for you, right? That doesn't make any sense. And so for some people, they use that as a justification and to rationalize and say, well, I don't understand what the command is, and so I'm just going to ignore it. But this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. You can turn there in your Bibles if you want to. That's our main verse for this morning. He says this, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And so he says, if you're not taking up your cross and you're not a true follower of mine, you're not a true Christian, not really saved, if you're not taking up your cross daily. But what does that even mean? Let me just give you a little bit of a preview for where we're going this morning. We're going to be answering two questions. The second one is more important. The very first one, though, is what does that mean? What does that mean to take up your cross and to do it on a daily basis, even? Now, I'll tell you one of the reasons why Jesus gives us these commands that are very mysterious and even difficult to understand is he is trying to separate the sheep from the goats. When a sheep hears a very difficult command, when a true Christian hears a difficult command, a true sheep says, Lord, I don't know what that means, but I want to know what that means. Help me to understand what that means so I can obey it. Now, then there's the goats, those who are imposter sheep. Imposters, they follow and they hang out with the sheep, but they're not truly saved. And what they say is, this is a good opportunity for me to disobey this command because there's a good reason. I don't know what it means. Nobody knows what that means. And so these goats will just walk away from Jesus or fall asleep, not pay attention at all. And so he gives these difficult commands to separate the goats from the sheep, and you can figure out if you're a true sheep or a goat by your attitude and your heart. The second question is an even more important question than the first one, and that is, how do we do it? How do you actually take up your cross and do it on a daily basis? It's one thing to know what that means. It's an entirely different thing to actually apply it to your lives. So how do you take up your cross daily? Now, to be honest, the cross is something that was very violent. We forget about that. We think it's something peaceful. It's something that was very bloody, and there was a lot of suffering that was going on. But what does it mean to take up your cross? Well, let me explain. It's very simple, actually. What does it mean that Jesus took up his cross? It means that he gave himself for the church. Now, a lot of times we think about taking up the cross as the suffering part, and that is true. There was a lot of suffering on his part as he suffered the eternal punishment and wrath of God. But we forget about the second part, that he suffered not for everyone, but he suffered for the church. He suffered for every single person who has placed their faith in Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and also for those who will, for the elect who will place their faith in Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Not for everybody, but he suffered for the good of the church. And so what does it mean then for us to take up our cross? What does it mean for you to take up your cross? Well, it's the exact same line of reasoning. Jesus took up his cross. He gave himself for the good of the church. And so now Jesus says, now you take up your cross. You give yourself for what? For the good of the church. It's not just about suffering, but Jesus is saying the second part is the part that's important. Give yourself for the good of the church. And that's what it means for us to take up our own cross. And that's something that's very controversial today. It's very even offensive because the church is seen as something that's very archaic. It's old, and the church exists just to make fun of, maybe to undermine the leadership. It's not something that's supposed to be taken seriously. But Jesus says, no, I love the church. I love it more than any organization in the world. Every other organization is going to be burnt up. It's going to come to an end. Your work, your company, is going to come to an end. Your school that you work at or that you go to for school is going to come to an end. The Lakers organization, Rams organization, Dodgers organization that we love so much, it's going to come to an end. And so keep as the priority, not any of these other organizations, but Jesus is saying, keep the church as your priority. That's very controversial today because people just want to make fun of and look down on the church. But Jesus says, no, I love the church. The church is my bride. I love the church as my bride. And so he turns around to us and says to you, to us, he says, and so you love my church as well. If you love me, then you will love my church and you will be willing to take up your cross. You'll be willing to suffer on behalf of the church, even suffering to the point of self-sacrifice. And so a really convicting question that we have to ask ourselves because of this passage, because of this verse, is, are you living for the church? Are you living and even willing to give up your time, treasure, talents for the good of the church? If you love Christ, Christ says, then you will give yourself for my church I love so much. And I'm going to show this short video. And actually, this video is a very touching video. It's a very sad video. And it really shows very clearly the love, the self-sacrificing love that a husband ought to have for his wife. But the reason why I want to show it this morning is we ought to have that same love for Christ's bride, for the church. Not the building, but for the people of the church. And so I want to show this quick video here.
Bethany works at the local university. Don had a machine shop and got his realtor's license. They had plans for a family. They had a lot of plans right before a tornado bore down on their house on Sunday afternoon.
The house was ripping apart. It happened so fast, and all the pillows were flying off of us. The only thing I managed to do was keep one just right in front of my face. So.
Don Lansaw, a former high school football star and the love of Bethany's life, threw his body over hers as their house and their world was being ripped apart.
He covered you.
He just has so much love in his heart. And you know, people keep saying that he wouldn't have wanted it any other way, but if I could have taken twice as much damage just to have him alive, I would have. And he got on top of me to take the brunt of most of it, and you know, he's my hero.
Okay, this clip didn't show it, but they explained that Don actually placed his body on top of her. They got in the bathtub and he got on top of her to protect her, and then he was impaled by this very sharp object, and so his face started to turn blue and the light passed from his body. But it shows very clearly just the love that a husband ought to have for his wife, the self-sacrificing love. But Christ is saying, now you have the same love for my bride, for the church. Even though no one in our culture anymore in the world really has this love, he says, now you take up your cross and you love the church in the same way that I love the church. And again, a very convicting question he's asking us this morning is, are you living for the good of the church? This thing, this being that everyone else just makes fun of and thinks is too old for us. Do you have this love of a husband for his wife? Now, not all suffering is taking up our cross. A lot of times when we hear take up your cross, we think, okay, as long as I'm suffering, I'm going through some kind of trial, I have some kind of illness in my life, then I am taking up my cross. But Jesus says, no, it is suffering for the sake of this church. So we think if your boss is being mean to you, then you're taking up your cross. I mean, we're going through this trial. It feels terrible. But that's not what taking up your cross is. Or we think, oh, if my kids, or my spouse is being a little mean, then that's taking up our cross. But no, that's not what Jesus is talking about. And interestingly, around the world, some people will take this command very literally, and they'll actually have themselves nailed to a cross. They want to take up their cross. And so once a year, someone will have themselves literally nailed, physically nailed to a cross, thinking that's what Jesus is talking about. And it is painful. They forget about the whole part about Jesus actually suffering the wrath of God, which is infinitely more painful, but they try to endure this pain, thinking that they're obeying this command, but they miss the point completely, because what Jesus is saying is, no, suffer, be willing to suffer for the sake of his church, not for yourself, not just for the pain. Now, actually, if you think about this command to take up your cross, it is a really encouraging command, but it's very unpopular today. It's unpopular because we're as American Christians, we're hedonistic. We're hedonists. And a hedonist is someone who believes that something is good if it brings you pleasure, but it's bad if it brings you any kind of pain and suffering. So if it brings you any kind of pain and suffering, then stop doing it because it's bad. And so imagine if you're serving within the church and you feel very alone. And maybe people aren't giving you the thanks that you deserve, patting you on the back, recognizing you. And maybe they're even accusing you of things and criticizing you while you're serving. As American hedonists, we say, I want to quit. This is for the birds. This just isn't worth it at all. But Jesus says, no, continue to take up your cross. You're being so faithful to me. This is where I want you to be uncomfortable and even suffering for my sake and for the good of the church. And so keep on serving, keep on suffering for my name and for the good of the church. But it is actually a really encouraging statement. It's a really encouraging command to take up your cross. You might be sitting there thinking, this is anything but encouraging. because I'm sitting here, I'm very busy with my family, my work, so many things to do, very busy. And now the Lord is telling me, on top of all of that, to give myself for the church, I mean, adding on top of all the things that I have to do, and to do it daily, even. But it's actually very encouraging. And so I want to share with you three reasons why this command to take up your cross is actually very encouraging. And the very first one is it does build and help that grit and that endurance in your life. As you feel like quitting, you're serving the Lord, and you feel like quitting, this command to take up your cross is where Jesus says to you, no, don't quit. Keep on serving my good and faithful servant. This is exactly where I want you to be. That's one reason. The second reason is that it actually allows for a very special fellowship with God. When you're serving the Lord and people aren't being thankful and maybe even criticizing you, and you're maybe enduring persecution from the world, people are saying, why are you spending so much time and money on the church? Then you're able to actually fellowship, the Bible says, with the Lord in a very special way. And so the Apostle Paul, who suffered much for the church and ended up giving his life for the church, he says this. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. And that is his goal for his life. That's our goal for our lives, to know him and to know him more and more, to know him in a very intimate way. Not just to know about him, but to know him personally and to experience him. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. He says, I want to fellowship with the Lord. And when you are suffering for Christ, giving yourself for him, then you actually know Christ more and more in a way that you would not be able to if your life was just completely blissful, hunky-dory, living out the American dream. You can't experience God and know him in the way that you can when you're suffering for Christ. So that's the second way. The third reason is that God is most glorified when there's nothing in it for you, when there's no fleshly pleasure for yourself, when you're serving the Lord and you're just going along and suffering in some ways and feeling lonely at times, then God is most glorified. If you think about it, that's the way that God is most glorified. And so if you just think about this, just imagine that you have 10 kids, not two or three or four crazy kids, but you have 10 kids. Now they're older, and one of your children, your daughter, one of your daughters, really wants to have this party for you, this birthday party. Big fiesta, lots of music, lobster, good food, sushi, this big, gigantic fiesta for you, just to show her love for you, their love for you, and to honor you. And at first, all the other kids are going along with it. Okay, let's throw this party for Dad or for Mom. But then they realize, wait a second, that's about the same time as our extended family skiing trip to Mammoth. And so they're telling your daughter, hey, let's cancel Dad's birthday party, Mom's birthday party, because we're so busy with our work and family, and we're so busy on top of that with this extended family trip, we just don't have any time for this party. And so you're actually saying yourself, you're saying, don't worry about the party, don't spend your time and money, don't worry about it. But this daughter really wants to honor you so much and loves you so much that she's still trying to get all the other kids to have this party for you. And all the rest of them are saying, you know what, if you want to have this party, go ahead. You can work by yourself, pay for it. We'll come and eat your food, but you do this on your own. And so this daughter, she feels so lonely doing this. And she spent her own money, but she really wants to do it for you and to honor you. Now, wouldn't that honor you and show her love for you way more so than if all the kids just had a great time? Getting together, having fun, throwing this party together, it's a reason for them to come together and have fun. It's kind of about you, but it's really also about them. No, if she's suffering and she feels very lonely, that actually shows her love for you and her desire to honor you way more so than if she's having fun for herself. And it's the same exact way with God. When we're serving him and you feel lonely and you feel like other people are criticizing you, you feel like you're doing this and you're taking it on the chin, the Lord says, thank you so much. You really are showing your desire to honor me and your love for me. And God is so glorified, so honored by your desire to serve him in that way. Now, Luke actually adds this twist on top of what Matthew records Jesus saying. Matthew records Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. Luke adds this other part that just ups the challenge so much more. So he says, he records Jesus saying, Take up your cross and follow me daily, on a daily basis. And most of us can serve the Lord, take it on the chin, once a year. But to do it every single month, month after month, that's entirely different. But to do it week after week, that's even harder. And to think about serving the Lord, to build up the church, giving yourself to the church every single day, on top of all the things that we have to do, that's impossible apart from the great work of the Holy Spirit. That's really impossible. But that's what he records Jesus saying. Take up your cross, give yourself to the church every single day, to this thing that none of the rest of the people in the world care about at all, to do it daily. And so really convicting question also is, are you taking up your cross every single day? Every single day of the week. Now you might be thinking, how can I do that? What are some ways that I can actually take up my cross and give myself for the church on a daily basis? And that's a great question. And one of them is through giving. It's the thing that none of us really want to talk about. It's the giving of our treasure, the giving of our hard-earned money. The Lord says this. He says, where your treasure is, where your hard-earned money is, there your heart will be also. If your heart is for me and you want your heart to be for me more and more so and for my church, then give to me through my church your first fruits. Not to see if you have anything left over, but give your first fruits to me. If you want your heart to be for the world, then spend your treasure on worldly things and your heart's going to follow. It's going to be for worldly things. But if you want your heart to be for me and for my bride that I love so much, the church, then give your hard-earned money to the church. It's a very convicting and challenging command, but it's a way that we can take up our cross daily. Another way is by reaching the lost, by doing outreach. Reaching the lost and doing outreach is fun. It's a lot of fun the first time or second time. It's very romantic the first time you're thinking, I'm doing it. But by the 20th or 30th time of sharing the gospel and being out there and giving of yourself, and you start to think, these people aren't even listening to the gospel. I'm wasting my time, and I'm just doing it for them. I could be spending my time for myself, getting ahead in life, doing things for myself, getting another job, doing stuff for my family. And so it is taking up your cross because there is a sacrifice. And I love talking about little Abby, because at our little outreaches or little golfers or little ballers, I always ask her, hey, Abby, do you like golf? Or do you like basketball? And she always responds by saying, no, I don't like it at all. In fact, we would say she might even hate basketball. But she has this huge smile on her face because she's looking at me like, I'm not here for the basketball. I'm here because we're trying to reach our community. I'm here to love on the people around me and just be nice to them, to pray for them. She and Hannah are prayer warriors, as all the Zamoras are, and to share the gospel, to see that the gospel goes to our community. That's why I'm here. And they just have this huge joy in their hearts, and they continue to do it, taking up their cross, not getting anything out of it themselves. I don't even like basketball, but in order to glorify Christ. Another way is every fourth Saturday of the month, we go down to God's Pantry at Chino High School. And you could join us. I'm so thankful to Dr. Joe Ruan, who's heading up this ministry, our deacon for that ministry. And you can come and join us as we hand out food, free food, to the poor in the area, to those who are homeless or just struggling a little bit. You can walk them through the line, hand out food, pray for them, share the gospel with them. They're so thankful. Every fourth Saturday, and the very first time you go, or second time, it might be fun. This is exciting. But by the 20th time you go, you're thinking, I could be spending this time doing things for myself. And sometimes these people aren't even grateful. And that's the time you're tempted to quit. But that's also the time the Lord says, continue to take up your cross. Continue to give yourself for the church, not just for this church here, Lifesong, but for the universal church and for the kingdom. And we're also really so thankful to Duku and Benny as they shared up here to go to paradise. And I really love what Duku said, that it's not going to be just one time and we're done. But we're going to keep up this relationship, to keep on taking up our cross as we help to take their burdens upon us as well. And join this Paradise team to help rebuild that community and the church that's there. Now, another way is by joining a journey group. Joining a journey group that's going to be starting pretty soon. And this may seem kind of odd because we're all thinking journey groups are just fun. I mean, it's a great time of enjoyment, of enjoying each other. But there is that time when you're thinking about joining a journey group where you're thinking, wait a second, sitting with three other people that I don't really know, strangers, and sharing my life with them, it just seems very awkward and uncomfortable. And that is where the Lord says, Be willing to take up your cross. Be willing to be uncomfortable. And we're also thinking, well, then I have to spend the time every single morning praying for them, texting, encouraging them. That's a lot of sacrifice. Every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, there's other things that I could be doing. And that is, again, where the Lord says, be willing to take up your cross, not just to receive from these journey groups, but also to give, to pour into the lives of the other people in your group. And at this time, I want to invite Karam and Joe Sang to come up here. Karam's been coming here for over a year now. She ain't Christian, and she's just been a great blessing to our church and to her, also to her journey group. And both of them are huge blessings. The other people in their groups have just shared that they're just amazing blessings to their groups. And so Karam's going to share first, and then Joe's going to be sharing. So thank you so much. Will you just join me in welcoming Karam and Joe?
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. My name is Karam Chung. I wanted to share a little bit of my experience here at LifeSong and with the Journey Group. I've been attending LifeSong for about 10 months now, and it has truly been a blessing. I attended a church most of my life, but I was a little jaded towards the church and God due to some unfortunate events in my life. I started to have a falling out with God. I stopped going to church for several months, and I started feeling very empty inside and at home. Although I didn't really want to go to a church, I wanted my son to attend so he would be surrounded by a positive, ethical environment. So 10 months back, I literally Googled churches near me, and LifeSong was one of the churches that popped up. And I also saw that they were offering basketball clinics, so I decided to give LifeSong a try. I was warmly greeted by the church members and was encouraged to join a women's journey group. It was a bit intimidating at first because I didn't know anyone, and but I decided to just push myself to go, thinking it's just 1 hour before service. The journey group has been truly a blessing to me. I was going through a really tough season in my life where I felt like everything was crashing down on me. I was angry, bitter at God, at people, exhausted and overwhelmed by all my duties at work and at home. I was an emotional and spiritual train wreck. At every journey group meeting, I remember I would be filled with tears as I would pour out my heart to everyone. The woman in my journey group heard me out heart to heart. They cried with me, they prayed with me, they encouraged me and supported me, and I didn't feel judged at all after sharing my story. And I felt like, oh wow, God didn't forget about me. He still loves me, He still hears me, He didn't abandon me. If I hadn't entered into this group, I wouldn't have experienced God's love through these wonderful sisters. I felt like they were God-sent angels. I heard a lot of Christians talk the talk, but not walk the walk. LifeSong members expressed their faith in action by living out the teachings of Jesus Christ. What a great way to live out the Christian faith. I remembered what Janice said at the women's Christmas breakfast, as she shared her testimony of when she first joined the journey group. She said, when these women pray, that things start to happen. And that you should really think hard before you share your prayer topics. See, it's just not me. There's another witness here who really experienced that love and power of God through the journey group. Through the constant prayer and support, I started to see God clearing out the fog in my life and bringing me closer to Him. During this 10 months, I truly saw myself growing in the Lord and in fellowship with others. I know it'd be nice to sleep in on a Sunday morning, but I highly encourage everyone to join this coming journey group. It is definitely a stepping stone to getting closer to the Lord and to grow in your faith. It will be a great time to hold each other accountable, bless each other, and love each other. It is really hard to get to know others just by attending Sunday worship. Journey group will be a great opportunity to get to know others that can turn into lifelong friendships in Christ. And I promise you all, you will be blessed. Please make sure to join before you leave today. Thank you, and God bless.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. I think it was pretty interesting, Mark. You chose someone brand new and someone who's been here since the beginning. But there's so many new people here, and that, you know, it's easy that, you know, if you go to church for a while, just to get complacent or stagnant or just get comfortable in your own little circle, so to speak. But I think one thing that you have to ask yourself is, do you, you know, is it the Lord's job to make things convenient for you? You know, is it God's job to work for you, or is it the other way around? And you have to just say, okay, you know, time, you know, if you open up, you know, you might be more vulnerable, but what you gain is so much more. I was actually so blessed in my journey group. You know, I have Bernard, I had Ken this time, we have Henry, we have Norm. And it was just really funny because we were all at different stages in our lives and we all had daughters, but then our daughters were from infant to, you know, mothers themselves. So it was just funny how you don't think you have so much in common, but then once you get to know people and once you allow yourself to get to know people, you realize how much you really do have in common. And then a lot of struggles you have, there's something to be said for gray hairs, you know, people who've experienced it before. And they could share with you what they did, how they dealt with it. You could learn from their mistakes. So initially you might think it's a time commitment. Initially you might think, well, I don't really know these people, or, you know, I'm not really, you know, into that warm fuzzy, whatever, whatever. But at the end of the day, you get out what you put in. And I would highly encourage you guys to join. Even if you think, well, I can't commit to the 12 weeks, then just commit to when you are there, you know, to be present. And I think you'll gain so much more than you realize. So, yeah, please sign up, and that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you so much, Karam, for the awesome sharing. Will you join me in prayer? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we know that there are some people here who have been taking up their cross daily, that they've been serving you so faithfully, Lord. And we know that for them, that there are times that maybe they are tempted to quit, to stop serving you, Lord. But Lord, we know that you are so pleased by us when we serve you, and you're so pleased even when there is pain in the offering. And Lord, we know that every single time that there is pain in the offering, but Lord, we pray that you would continue to encourage their hearts, that they are doing what you have called all of us to do as your sheep and as your servants, as your sons and daughters, that is to glorify you by giving up our gifts to you. But Lord, we know that there are also some here who may not have yet given of themselves to your church, taken that step into that area of discomfort. Lord, we pray that you would give them a clear calling, how you desire for them to, Lord, to serve you, to give of their lives as living sacrifices to you. Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of their hearts to see the many opportunities that we have here at Lifesong to do just that, to take up our cross. Lord, we pray that you would walk them through that, that they would be able to begin to serve you with all of their hearts. And Lord, we know that there are also some here who don't yet know you, who may not have fully believed your gospel and the amazing gift that your Son has given to them. Lord, we pray for a new heart for them. We beg you, we call out to you, Father, for a new heart that desires to trust in your Son for the forgiveness of all of their sins, to know that they are no longer condemned in Christ Jesus, and also for that heart that desires to give of themselves for you, even in a self-sacrificing way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.